Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, if we lived in another country, we get so used to the niceties of this nation, we sometimes overlook the things that we've got. And, you know, many of you have already heard stories. You've heard stories in your life of moves of God and things that God's doing in other nations, and people will literally walk with their own 2 feet for hours to get there. And we have so much available to us that we ought not just overlook. Because you're never going to sow a seed in the area of your spiritual life that you won't reap a harvest in. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. Y'all need to look alive this morning. We're going to go on an airplane ride. You want to go on an airplane ride? All right, we're going to go on an airplane ride. Well, open your Bibles, if you would, to let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're in the middle of a series on your best friend forever. And the Holy Spirit is your best friend forever. So we should know how he thinks. We should know the environments he likes to traffic in, hang around in, be a part of. We should know his personality. We should know what gets him excited and what he doesn't like. You know, your New Testament says that as his kids, our job is to come to know those things that are pleasing to him. So part of the purpose of this series is for us not to just to get a theological grasp on the, quote, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the challenge comes that when we just keep it in the realm of doctrine, because it's only theory, because we never know how to get to know him as a person. Jesus didn't go to the cross, go through what he went through to get to the cross, go to the cross, pour out his life, and then be raised from the dead 3 days later for us just to add a theological doctrine to the way we think. He did it to change the entire course of humankind. And he did that. And the only difference between you and someone else is you've heard and they haven't. But I've said this many times before, we should interact with this thing called the gospel, not as if it's something we believe in. We should interact with this thing in the gospel. We should interact with it from the standpoint of the resurrection actually did take place. So it should affect how we think and how we demonstrate life to human beings. Because it really isn't, it really is completely irrelevant whether you believe in it or not. It's already been done. So you're either going to take advantage of what that event did for the human race and seize it and take a hold of it and take ownership of it, or you're going to try to ignore it and pretend it didn't happen, but it still did. You can't go back and change history. Right? So we should interact with it as if we really understand that it actually took place, not just something that you choose to believe in. I'm going to say some things this morning, and I hope it just rocks your world. Because we need our world rocked. We need our thinking rocked. We need our thought process challenged. Especially as what you call Christians, we need to be made to think about actually what we're living, the environment that we've become comfortable in. Because, well, let's just start here. In James chapter 1, James is the brother of Jesus. It's interesting that James, both James and Jude, didn't acknowledge Jesus as Lord until after he was raised from the dead. You live with this guy. Of course, Jesus made the statement. He said, you know, a prophet's not accepted. He's accepted every place except his hometown. His brothers and his mother thought he was crazy. But after he was raised from the dead, they get it. So James is the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And if you look at the history of that church in the book of Acts, you'll find that after the resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, so many, because of the demonstration, everybody say demonstration, of the gospel in the environment of their everyday life, multitudes of those who that were even priests in the Jewish faith got a hold of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that he really was Lord and he really is who he says he is. And so the church of Jerusalem had a multitude of those folks that were once loyal to the Jewish faith and the traditions of the Jewish faith and the history. And they declared Jesus as Lord. James made some statements in this letter that oftentimes are misunderstood. Because, frankly, if you, and I'm going to say this up front, you can always tell, in no matter what thought process of, whether you call it denominationalism or whatever it is, whatever you call it, you can always tell when the thought processes of man, and more specifically, the demonic demon influences that are and that become the thought processes of man have influenced the theology. There's a characteristic about it, and it's consistent in every single persuasion on the planet. They all have one thing in common. And that is, they believe. They believe. Now we're going to touch base with that, but before we do that, I'm going to just show you this. James says in chapter 1, he says, to the 12 tribes that are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result. Everybody say perfect result. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, many read these verses and they believe, they read these verses in the environment of God puts things in your life to test you to see how good your faith is. How many have heard that thought process? You know? It's not anybody in here, but you know somebody. And so they have this mindset that God does things to you to see how strong you are, to see how much, you know, how valid your faith is. But that's not what James is speaking of here. And the problem with that is the reason we have those mindsets is because we have completely misunderstood the role of the Holy Spirit, the fact that, you know, some folks don't even believe he's a real person. Some folks, it's easier for them just to say he's a force. He's an it. It's a force. But it's not a person. But he is a person. So that kind of screws up that. And since he's a person, he has a specific role in this post-resurrection environment that we're in. And it's important for us to understand what his role is and important to understand what your role is. There are things that he does that you can't do, and there are things that you're to do that he can't do. Did you hear what I said? So when James is speaking here of your faith, and he's saying that when you encounter various trials in verse 2, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, the word testing there is an interesting word because it actually speaks of someone who examines currency and they've found it to be authentic. Hopefully all the currency that you are in possession of is authentic currency and not funny money, right? So what this word is speaking of is it's speaking of after the examination process is done. So James is simply saying here, consider it all joy. I mean, how would you consider it joy? This is how twisted this is. If you don't understand, number one, if you don't understand what faith is, and you don't understand that it doesn't come from you, then you're going to be trying to have it in the midst of hard situations. How many of that's exasperated? Because you're trying to have faith, and then you're looking at the circumstances, and ain't nothing changing, and so then you're trying to have more faith, and you keep looking at the circumstances, and nothing changes, so you're trying to have more faith, and you just get wore out. But faith doesn't come from you. It comes from him. And what James is actually speaking here is, I'm going to show you these verses in a minute, but what James is actually saying here, he says, consider it joy when you fall into various trials, external pressures, knowing, everybody say knowing. Notice it doesn't say hoping. Did you see that? It says knowing. Knowing that the test of your faith produces endurance. What you could say is this, and this is really the way it is in the Greek New Testament, knowing that your faith being authenticated. See, a lot of folks, they don't realize that their faith is authentic. They're trying to have it, but they don't know if they've arrived. But that's the wrong perspective, and that's the wrong angle, folks. He's not telling you to have faith. He's saying, look, know this when you go into hard situations and trials, that what comes out of you is authentic faith. So be comfortable with that. Walk in that. Exercise that because it produces endurance in you. And you know this, that the end result of that endurance is when it is having its perfect result, you'll be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. Why? Because your authenticated faith produces that. So, behind the scenes, what's going on here? So, the pressures are on. Stuff happens. You're in the middle of a hard place. What do? Well, first of all, he says in verse 2, you turn the joy on. So, you can't turn the joy on when you're trying to do something else. That's why it's so much of a challenge. Folks are trying to have faith and they can't maintain their joy because their attentions are divided. Faith doesn't come from you. Everybody say this, faith does not come from me. So if it doesn't come from you, why are you trying to strain to get it? Step one is turn the joy on. How many can turn the joy on? I can turn the joy on, get in your car, and you go drive down the road, and instead of feeling like crying your head off, why don't you just start laughing? You say, well, I feel stupid. And? What would you rather feel, depressed or stupid? I'd rather feel stupid. So you start laughing, and you keep laughing until you're no longer trying to laugh. Right? So you all don't like to hear that. I don't want to do that. You need to do that because that's step one. He says here, he says, know this, and when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, knowing that the authentication of your faith, knowing that your faith is authentic and proven, You say, well, when was it ever authenticated and proven? Go to the letter to the Hebrews. Start reading chapter 11. All of those people. Was the faith that they stepped out on, was it authenticated and proven? Yes. Peter says, you got the same faith as me. Was his faith authenticated and proven? Was the faith that he walked in authenticated and proven? You think you got some lesser version of that? See, that's the problem. When you think it comes from you, then you think there can be a difference between yours and somebody else's. But it doesn't come from you, it comes from him. He doesn't have degrees of strength of faith that he dishes out to people. Understanding the role of Holy Spirit in your life, his job is to bring forward the same faith that's been stood on and stood on and stood on every human being in history that he's brought forth to, and it's proven itself every single time, and it's in you, and he wants to bring it forth and bring it to the forefront in your life so that you can know that the faith that is in you is authentic and it's been tried and it has been proven to be absolutely 100% authentic. He says, know this, that the testing of your faith having been proven authentic, it produces endurance. He said, and let that endurance have its perfect result. You'll be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Now, what's going on behind the scenes when all this is happening? Well, he tells you, and go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, Paul's talking about these same pressures. He says, we also exult in our tribulations. Does that sound like what James is saying? These are two different guys, but they're saying the same thing. Right? He says, exult in your tribulation, knowing, everybody say knowing, that the tribulation brings about perseverance. The word perseverance is exactly the same word endurance. And that perseverance or endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within your hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to you. So behind the scenes in James scenario is how does the authenticated faith that's in you come out and produce the results around you? The Holy Spirit said behind the scenes causes you, if you will maintain your joy, to become under the influence of his love. And what does your word say about what environment does faith work? Faith works through love. So let me just show you these verses. Acts chapter 6. Holy Spirit's job, his role in your life, is to bring the faith of heaven to the forefront in your life and for you to understand that you're to have 100% confidence in living life in the flow of this faith, because it's produced 100% results in people's lives forever. It's been tried, it's been proven. Let me just say this. Is there any place in the Gospels where it says that Jesus used his faith? I'll take that silence as a no. Specifically, is there a place where it says that Jesus used his faith? But yet you see results everywhere he went. Right? So if no one else walked out and proved the faith of God to be authentic, Jesus did, because you see what it produced. And I know this is screaming with your head, because you see, you're still trying to get this thing to fit in the concept of faith comes from you. It's time for you to change that thought process. Faith comes from Him. In Acts chapter 6 here, you notice in verse 5, it says the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of what? And he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 8 says he was full of grace and power. Verse 5 says he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Folks, the faith came from the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20, Paul says this. I mean, how many places do we have to have this for us to get it? Galatians 2:20, Paul says, Christ lives in me, the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith. Now, your English translation says, in the Son of God. But really, in the Greek New Testament, it's not in, it's of. Christ lives in me, the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who's the faith belong to? Acts 3:16, after the lame man was raised up and made whole, the disciples are explaining themselves in the presence of the religious system, and they said, it's in the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him. The faith that comes through him has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. Now, go over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. See, you got to read. You have to read Romans in context. You can't just. We like to start at chapters. I'm not going to start at chapter 1 and read all the way to 11. Okay, so just relax. But at least go back to chapter 10. And you got to put some things that he said in chapter 10 together with what he ends chapter 11 with, and then he starts chapter 12 with. Because how many know the original writings, there wasn't any chapter divisions, right? So in Romans chapter 10, he's dealing with the whole issue of the Jewish nation and now the Gentile nation in Christ. Okay? And he goes through the history. Let me just find exactly where I want to go here. I'm sorry, I said chapter 10. Go to chapter 11, a little further back in the chapter. I was going to read the last verse in chapter 11, but I want to read you other things that are said in that chapter, in chapter 11. And he says this in, look at verse 13. Romans 11, verse 13, he says, but I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch as then I am an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry. Somehow I might have moved to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. Verse 15. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Verse 16. If the first piece of dough is holy, who do you suppose the first piece of dough is? Speaking of Jesus, right? Everybody say Jesus. Then the lump is holy, And if the root is holy, who do you think the root is? Who's the root? Jesus. The branches are too. But if some of the branches are broken off, and you being a wild olive, speaking of the Gentile nation, the natural man, non-Jewish in origin, have grafted among them and become partakers of them, the rich root of the olive tree. When you take part of Christ, you're taking part of everything he secured for you. Verse 18, do not be arrogant. Everybody say, do not be arrogant. Toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember this, that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Who's the root? Jesus. Or you could say the Holy Spirit. So, everybody say this, the root supports me. So then he goes in verse 20, or verse 19, you will say then branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, verse 20. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your, what? You stand by your faith. Now let me ask you, in light of the previous verse where the root's supporting you, where's that faith coming from? Is it coming from you? No, it's coming from him. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. Okay, now fast forward. Go to verse 25. He says, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. And then move forward. He's in verse 29. It says, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Everybody say gifts. And then callings. Gifts and callings, okay? So now he deals with gifts and callings in chapter 12. But I want you to specifically understand that the primary gift that he's speaking of here is faith. Right? Is everybody here today? The primary gift that he's dealing with here is faith. Faith comes from him. So, move forward and look at verse 34. Verse 34 says in chapter 11, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, verse 35, who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? Can you get the idea that it's not about something you generate? Where do we get this idea that it's about faith that we have to offer to him? I gotta have my faith right. I gotta get my faith right. I gotta get more faith. I gotta have better faith. I gotta get stronger faith. I gotta get, you know, whatever. Where'd we get that idea? So far, all he's talked about is what comes from him. Right? So, he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, verse 35, or who has first given to him, you might as well put faith in there, that it might be paid back to him again. Paul's dealing with the very thing that most people nowadays, that's where they live. I'm trying to get my faith to get something from him. I'm trying to demonstrate my faith. I'm trying to do this because I'm trying to get something from him. When Paul is saying, look, you don't support the root supports you. I know this flies in the face of what you guys think, but it's time for us to change our thought process. I didn't put these verses in here. I didn't go steal your Bibles, reprint the pages, and get them back to you before Sunday. Right? Now, go forward. Verse 36. Look at what is verse 36? Let's read verse 36 together. Ready? Read. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. What's the context? He's still talking about faith. That's why Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's why the disciples said, look, you guys are looking at us like it's by some of our own righteousness or whatever coming from us. This is why this guy is living. He's walking. Know this, that it was through the name of Jesus and the faith that comes by him is why this guy is walking. And then in chapter 12, he goes on to say this. He says, I urge you, brethren, therefore what? Therefore, based on what I just got done explaining to you, that you're not the origin of anything. The faith that you have, you don't support the root supports you. And since the lump is holy, then so are you. It has nothing to do with you. Everything comes from him, is through him, and to him. And I've said this before, you could break down the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you could break those down, and they really are if you looked at the Greek New Testament, they are really divided up into three groups. And you can divide those three groups and plug them under this filing system. From him, through him, and to him. But he says here, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Everybody say the loving kindness of God. Everybody say the mercy of God is the loving kindness of God. Whenever you read in the Gospels where it says Jesus was moved by compassion, compassion is the mercy of God. Got it? He says, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Now, are you trying to make it acceptable to God? No, he's saying it is. Why? Because all things come from him, through him, and to him. He's saying, your job is to present your body a living holy sacrifice to him. It's acceptable, which is your spiritual form of worship. Verse 2, don't be conformed to the world, or don't be receiving being conformed by the world system, but receive being transformed by the renewing of your thought processes, so that you may prove, everybody underline that word prove, what the will of God is. That word prove is exactly the same word over in James chapter 1. He's not telling you that you're supposed to be proving what the will of God is. He's saying that because all things come from him, through him, and go back to him, if you'll just submit your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable form of worship towards him, and you'll receive having your thought process renewed by the working and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you're going to prove as authentic what the will of God is to everybody else around you. Is anybody here today? You're going to prove what is authentic. Why does the world not understand what the authentic will of God is? Because we got off on this trip that, you know, we've allowed ourselves to become isolated from knowing and interacting with the Holy Spirit as a person. Out of whom, that's where faith flows. Depending on your history, you may not even knew the Holy Spirit was a real person. You were never taught that. You were never told that he's somebody you're supposed to get to know. So if you're not going to come to get to know him, then that means everything, you're on your own. That means you're trying to do things on your own. You're trying to generate what you call faith on your own. So with him, with the Holy Spirit being reduced down to a theology or a mere idea, You've labored to create faith, have faith, demonstrate faith, not realizing it. It's a normal part of what flows out of your interaction with him. Are you all here today? It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. If you're listening to this and you're Presbyterian, I'm just kidding. Call it something else. Galatians 5:25, we get our new life from the Spirit. So our job is just follow the Spirit. Or literally the Greek New Testament says, hold on to. Be holding to the Spirit. Acts 11:24. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Where did the faith come from? It came as a result of him developing a fellowship and an intimacy with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back over to James. James chapter 1. See, we, as human beings, guys, we like it for to be we like it to be about us. Because we like to feel like we're achieving something. If you want to achieve something, then have the same mindset that Paul had. His mindset was, I want to know him. And as a result of knowing him, I want to know and experience the glories of his resurrection. So let's put our efforts. If we want to be, you know, what does the word say? It says, if you're going to glory, glory in this. That you know him. Not that you know about him, but that you know him. James chapter 1. Now, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith, or the your faith being proven, remember Romans 12? Proven authentic. Peter says, you've been given the same like precious faith that I've been given. How many believe that the letter that Peter wrote is for you? Oh, maybe that was just for somebody else. So if Peter says you've been given the same like precious faith that I've been given. Well, go back and read the book of Acts. What did the faith that flowed through Peter do? Man, we hit the ground running in the book of Acts. He raised up a lame dude that had never walked in his life. Didn't have the muscle structure. The bone structure probably wasn't there. Nothing. He was lame from his mother's womb. And the faith that flowed through Peter looked at him and says, silver and gold don't I have, but what I do have right this moment, what I've got, I'm going to give you it. In the name of Jesus, rise up. Was that because Peter was a pretty righteous dude? No, it had to do with the fact that he learned how to flow with the faith of God that was in him. It had absolutely nothing to do with him. I mean, if anybody would have qualified for a lesser version because of making some dumb decisions, you know, if that's the way God was, then Peter would have qualified, right? Well, Peter, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Now, you screwed up pretty bad. And he gave you three chances, and you denied me three times. Pretty dumb. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this for you. I'm still going to let you in on the game, but you're going to have to earn my trust back. And so I'm going to give you a little bit at a time. You know, you're not going to have as much as the other guys, because they didn't deny me flat out, but... You know, you did, but understand, I still love you. You're still a great guy. And so I'm going to let you in on the game. And I'm just going to give you a little bit at a time. And you can earn my trust back. And then finally, when I believe I can trust you, then I'm going to give you the full amount. Is that what happened? No. Give me a break. How can we treat God that way then? That's the way he is. That's not the way he is. That may have been the way your dad was. But that ain't even the way he is. You got 100% on day one. 100%, the same 100% that Peter proved to be authentic in his everyday life is the same authentic proven faith that's in you right now. You ought to be going, whoop, whoop. So, James deals with this whole issue of the authentic. Again, it's not something that's coming from you. It's not something you're trying to have. It's something that is in you right now. It's 100%. Why is it 100%? Because you have 100% of the love of God in you. And behind the scenes, it's that flow, Romans 5:5, that flow of the love of God that's poured out into your heart that flows through you is what causes that faith to be released, 100% potent. So he's dealing with that issue. Understand that the faith that's in you is 100% proven, is 100% authentic. Now, having said that, he goes on to say, he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, notice he didn't say lacks faith. How do we read this garbage into the Word? He says, if any of you lacks wisdom. See, it's not that you don't have it, it's just you're not sure how to utilize it. is if any of you lacks wisdom, he says, and I love this, let him ask of God. And the word ask there is the word require. Everybody say require. Are you comfortable requiring things of the Lord? You better say yes, because that's what that word means. Because that word ask is the word, the Greek word ateo. It means to require what's yours by right. It's only religion and only the thought process of man that's made you uncomfortable thinking about the fact that you can require things in the presence of him. He needs you to require things because he bought them. And you're going to find out why he needs you to require them, because he can't. We're talking about the Holy Spirit working with him in the earth. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask, require from God, he'll give it to you generously without reproach. When we go in and we need an answer, we ought to say, Lord, according to your word, your wisdom for me is there in abundance. So I just thank you. I thank you that it's mine, and I receive it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you that I've got it. How many times do we come into his presence and say, I don't got it. I need. When he's saying, you got it. Why don't you start acting like you got it? But I don't got it. What does James say? I give it to you liberally, generously. So if he's already told you it's yours generously, then that's pretty much a done deal. It's mine. So Father, I thank you that I have your wisdom absolutely generously as you could possibly pour it out. I receive it, and I thank you that I've got the answers, and I thank you that I've got I know what direction to go. I know the decisions I need to make. I know how to walk this thing out. I know how to release that 100% authenticated faith that you've put in me, and I thank you for that in the name of the Lord, and all the time you've maintained your joy. And he says in verse 6, but he must ask in faith without doubting. And all of a sudden your religious thought process kicks back in. Oh, see, I gotta have faith. It's the same faith he told you was already in you that was already authenticated and proven. He's needing you to recognize and acknowledge that the faith that is in you, that you're standing on, that you're living on, that you're enjoying, that's maintaining your joy, and the love flow that has brought that to the surface and brought that to the forefront of your life is the same faith you're supposed to stand in his presence and require and thank him for anything that you need direction on and wisdom on, because that faith has already 100% been authenticated and proven, so therefore just rest in it, and you have to ask from that place. You have to require it from that place. It's not something you're trying to get. It's not something you're trying to have. It's something that Holy Spirit, that's his job. His job he wants to prove to you that the faith that is in you is absolutely 100% authentic. Because the faith that is of him comes from the love that is of him. You wouldn't walk around and say, well, I kind of got the nature of God. I want to get more of the nature of God. You have all the nature of God. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, he didn't give you part of him, he gave you all of him. Your nature is 100% him. In fact, the word says in Romans, you're one spirit with him, not partial. Okay, now jump forward. James 1:17, let's put this in a little bit different light. Let's put it in the light of Romans chapter 11 and chapter 12. Romans chapter 11 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. He mentions two things, every good thing given and every perfect gift. Every good thing given. Let me ask you a question. Is the faith that's of him, is that a good thing given? Is the love that he poured out into your heart a perfect gift? This is what James is dealing with in his letter. He said, every good thing given, the faith, the authenticated faith, the proven faith that's in you, and every perfect gift, which is he'll call it later, the perfect law of liberty, which is love, the nature that's poured in, what's poured out in your heart, and from comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or even shifting shadow. Now, go to verse 21. He says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness and in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Now, what do you suppose the word implanted is? Well, he tells you in this letter, the word is the perfect law, the law of liberty. It's another word for the nature of love that the Holy Spirit in Romans 5 has poured out into your heart. It's the same nature that causes everything that is of him to flow into and through your life. He says, receive that implanted, which is has the ability to save your soul or cause your thought processes to be right. And you might as well just write Romans 5:5 next to this verse. And then he goes on to say, and prove yourselves, there's that word, the word prove, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, this is an interesting verse because I don't know how many sermons have been preached on this verse and how many more sermons are going to be preached on this verse. And meanwhile, everybody's running around trying to do the word. What word? Well, first of all, it says, verse 22, prove yourselves doers of the word. I love that word, doers, because here's what that word means. That word, doers, in the Greek language, since the New Testament written in Greek, the Greek language, the word doers there, it comes from a word that means poet. What's a poet? I guess let's bring it into modern vernacular. A rapper. What are poets and rappers? They're craftsmen of words. This word doer is the word that literally speaks of someone who is fashioning or creating or crafting something. Think about this, folks. Holy Spirit in your life, he is the one that brings the authenticated, proven faith that is in you because his nature is in you. I can't tell you guys how frustrating it is for me. If I had I guess you can always look back in your life and you can say, well, you know, if I had known this, I would have been better. Maybe I would have, maybe I wouldn't have. But you know how frustrating it is to understand how many years you go spinning your wheels trying to have something in your life that Holy Spirit, all he wanted to do was for you to know him, hold to him, grow in your relationship with him, and he would cause the very thing that comes from the very new nature that you are as the new man or the new woman to just flow unhindered through your life. Man, I wish I had more time. I don't know. I feel like I just started. But this word, doers of the word, it's the person, someone who fashions or creates or is crafting. He's saying craft the word. What do you craft the word with? You're crafting the word with very close. Really, that's it. But there's so much backstory. With the love that he put in you, his nature, and the flow of faith that comes from that nature, that's all Holy Spirit's job. Let me just say this, because for the sake of time, let's just cut to the chase, since you pulled off the sheet on my present. He says, prove yourselves crafters of the word. And I love that word because it means find ways, find creative ways to create the manifestation of his nature and his faith in and around you, wherever you are. Find creative ways to bring to manifestation his nature and his love and his and the faith that's in you, to bring it out into the open. Find creative ways to bring it out into the open. And let it be manifest. You remember I said this a couple weeks ago that the faith, you know, when it's described, when faith is described, it's always described as authority. Right? Do you remember that? How many of you heard last week? Remember that? I challenge you, go find your Bible where I'm not telling you the truth. Everything that Jesus said, it never says that Jesus used his faith. You mean to tell me he operates different than we're supposed to? But yet, what was said about him and where he went? What authority does this man do all this? When he explains to the disciples after the tree withered, and they said, man, even the tree, you spoke to this tree, and it withered from the roots. And he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, your Bible might say truly, but the Greek word there is amen. It means so be it. I'm telling you something. Jesus is saying, look, boys, I'm telling you something that's a solid absolute right now. You got your listening ears on? Peter says, yep. And he said, I want to tell you this, that if any of you had a said to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. In fact, just go over there real quick. Go over there real quick. Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 22. He says, Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Wrong. That's a theological interpretation. The word actually says, have the faith of God. Why? Because faith comes from him. Jesus demonstrated the faith of his Father every place he went, and the people called it, wow, what a manifestation of authority. He said, Jesus answered and said, truly, have the faith of God. Truly I say to you, or amen, or let me tell you boys something that's an absolute solid established fact. That any of you could have said to this mountain, be taken up, cast into the sea, and you don't doubt and don't receive doubt into your heart. That's what it says. And don't receive doubt into your heart from an outside source. Do not receive doubt into your heart from an outside source. That's literally what it says. But believes that what he says is going to happen. It literally says this, but you already in a present, at present tense, by the time you're saying these things, you're already knowing that those things that you say are already come to pass. Where have we got the cart before those? We thought that if I say it enough times, I can talk myself into it because I'm trying to get faith. But Jesus described the walking of the demonstration of the faith that's in you. He described it by the releasing of the authority that belongs to a man on this ball called earth. The Gospels, every time somebody turned, why did the Syrophoenician woman, why did she get into, because she said, look, even the dogs eat the crumbs of the kids under the table. In other words, she wasn't going to say, she didn't wear this bumper sticker on the back of her car that said, stuff happens. Man was given authority on this earth. He always has been given authority on this earth. It's never been given to anybody else. The devil ripped it off from the only one it was given to, and then Jesus said before he was resurrected and went to sit next to the Father, he said, let me tell you something, boys, all authority has been given back to me. I now held the title belt for both reigns, in heaven and on earth. And he merged the two together, and he said, now go therefore. Jesus described what the faith of God was simply demonstrating authority in the earth. When you speak to things, believe that what you're saying comes to pass, because I told you it does. Therefore, in verse 24, I'm saying to you that all things which you pray, the word pray there is require by right, same word in James. Or, I'm sorry, the word ask there. When you pray, when you ask or require, believe that you've received them, and you'll have. You don't believe that you've received them when you're saying it. You believe you've received them because you already have them. That's the reason you're saying it. Because authority is yours. Faith and authority are not separate doctrines. The faith comes from the Holy Spirit. The authority comes from you. He has to have you marry them both together. Because you can't do what he can, and he cannot do what you can, because he is not a man. You are. Can you see this? You're the only one authorized on this planet as a human breathing, real human being. Jesus isn't going to come back down, so he secured it for you, but you're here. You are the only one as a breathing human being that has any authority to speak anything out of your mouth. The faith that is in you is designed to... Here's what Holy Spirit's job is. Holy Spirit is to bring... 1 Thessalonians 1:5, write that verse down. Paul said, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but it came in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in full conviction, or you could say assurance. Holy Spirit's job is... What is to bring... power and assurance. That's his ministry. What's faith? Now faith is the evidence. One translation says the assurance of things. That's how we know it comes from him. Faith is him communicating to you what belongs to you. But folks, I told you at the beginning, we're going to go on a plane ride. Here's the thing. And I didn't get to this verse, but Paul talks about the fact that, look, in situations, you know, 2 Corinthians 4, around verse 8, he says, in situations, man, things get tough, real tough. He says, but we're not crushed. See, Holy Spirit is your internal pressurizer. How many have been on a commercial airline? They pressurize that plane so that it doesn't fold up like a tin can when you get it in the air. Because the environment around it is going to squeeze it and press it. It will crush it. But they pressurize the internal cabin of the plane. Holy Spirit in you is your internal pressurization. But folks, let me tell you this. Understand, he needs you to allow him to marry his power and his assurance and revelation with your authority. But you've got to be willing to walk in the authority that only you have as a human being. He can't walk there, only you can. But if you're willing to walk there, he's going to bring the power, he's going to bring the revelation, and y'all going to marry, and woo! You can take the largest plane in production today, set it on the runway. The tower says, okay, you can go, and they pressurize the cabin. And the pilot says, no, I can't. This thing will never fly. I can't. Gravity, it'll never fly. Cabin's already pressurized. It ain't going anywhere unless the pilot is willing to put that throttle forward and get that plane in the air. And if he's willing to do that, everything works. We've got to be willing. Let's stop making faith a mystery. Understand what it is. You getting communication from the Holy Spirit. Faith is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to show you things. He wants to reveal things to you. And everything that comes from Him brings assurance. Your job is to take that assurance, settle it, put your authority on it, and live like it's so. He pressurizes the cabin, you shove the throttle forward, and you get that plane off the ground. And you fly, baby, fly. And that's how it works. That's what the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life is for. He can't walk in your authority. Only you can. You let Him do what He can do and what He has authority to do, and He wants you to do what you have authority to do. Put the two together. Woo. Now we have a whole nother subject to talk about. When it comes to the manifestation, the gospel of grace in the earth. You guys get anything out of this? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me this last week? I was kind of thinking about this whole believing thing, because the word believe does show up a bunch of times in your word. You guys can stand up. You know, there's no denying that the word believe shows up a bunch of times in your Bible. And I told you that one thing that every perspective that is religious has consistent amongst themselves is there's a believing in there. Folks, Christianity is not about believing. Christianity is about exerting the authority that you've been given and letting Holy Spirit do the things that He's authorized to do once you step into that place. It's all about the authority. But I was raised in church my whole entire life, and do you know how many times anybody ever sat in front of me and explained to me that the gospel, what Jesus did in post-resurrection environment, was all about the exercise of the authority of man in the earth and allowing Holy Spirit to marry His authority with the authority of man and see what He could do in the earth. Zero. Zero times. You know why? Because we all were just content to believe things. James says, if you're a hearer only, you might as well just say, if you're a believer only, you're deluding yourself. You know what the word deluding means? It means somebody who goes to a college class, sits in the back, and just wants to take it, just wants to take it as a, what do they call it? An audit. And they just want to audit the class, and if they hear anything that they agree with, they can associate themselves with it, and they'll align themselves next to it, and they associate with it, and they make it be them. Jesus didn't go through what He went through for just to get a bunch of people that would come alongside of what He did and mentally acknowledge it and audit it and associate with it because they agree with it. And flat out, that's what believing is. You're just acknowledging something to be true. Well, your Bible says, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. You can go find the verse in your own Bible. He says, why is it that we want to settle for the best demons can do? I knew that gets your attention. Your Bible, Holy Spirit said through Paul that demons believe. They believe. And they will acknowledge that God is at the top of the food chain. So why would we, and every religious thought process, I don't care if it's Christianity or anything else, if it only settles on the place of believing, then darkness has got His hand in there and twisted it all up. Because when the best that we want, the only thing we want to associate with is just the fact of the believing, then we're doing no more than the best that demons can do. It's not about believing. It's about you exerting and walking in the authority that Jesus purchased for the human race and allowing Holy Spirit to do what he's authorized to do. You do what you're authorized to do. And when the two agree, you'll walk together. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being our teacher. Thank you for bringing us to higher levels of experience with you. And I ask that this word will be sealed in the hearts of the hearers, that they'll never be able to get away from it. That old mindsets and old thought processes that try to come back and settle into their thinking, that Holy Spirit, you'll shake the tree and you'll remind them, no, don't go back there. Don't go back there. Come up higher with me. And I thank you that you love us so much that you're so willing to go on this ride with us. And we tell you that we're ready to fly this plane. And we thank you for all that you are and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in our life. And we thank you for an explosion of the gospel of grace in this city that will turn this city right side up. And people will not run to religion or not run to a theology or not run to a doctrine, but they'll run to the person that bought them and set them free. Everybody agree with that prayer said, amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.